Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hello, Ben Shires here. Shh, what's that noise? Is it a covert crackle? A clandestine crunch? No. It's a risible Russell. That's right. This week, I'm joined by the manicured, multi-award-winning and downright marvellous comic, Russell Kane, who's muscled his way into the studio to discuss his new show, Manscaping, and what masculinity means to the modern man, plus his lovely new DVD smokescreen in Castles. I don't know what's flowing thicker and faster, the testosterone or the adjectives. We'll also be speaking to Adam Buxton about more manly topics, including beard maintenance. And if that wasn't enough, we're again ushering new Twitter phenomenon at Pronger69, aka my dad, into a somewhat reluctant spotlight. So crack out the Y chromosomes for episode 4 of the Dave Weekly. Greetings, Russell Kane.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm well, how are you, sir?
Risible.
Good. It was a difficult thing going through Thesaurus and finding an R comedy adjective.
I've got a feeling that risible means laughable, but not in the way that we might have meant.
No, it's full of comedic value. That's the way I implied it. So how excited are you to be on the show from a scale of kind of very to absolutely tumescent?
I would say I'm tumescent, nay, fully engorged.
Good. Almost climactic.
Yeah. Ejaculatory.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear this.
Now I'm post-coital. Now I'm sleepy.
Crumbs. And I'm full of regret.
Next morning. Hi.
Well, one of the reasons why I ask is because I follow your feed on Twitter, as many thousands of other people do. And this morning, I'm sure you remember, you tweeted, woke up at 3 a.m. thrashing with nightmares and self-doubt, had a Horlicks, was fine. And I sort of, you know, had delusions of grandeur and thought, am I really that intimidating, Russell?
Oh, no, it's just based on the amount of work that's involved with promoting the tour. And it's so scary when you start a new tour because you think the email's going to come through and get every single ticket sold because this is the year you finally made it. There's no more work to do, which is completely idiotic. Then the email comes through and go, you know, we've still got tickets to sell here and there. You're not quite there yet. And then your brain starts going, yeah, what if you never get there? What if you're one of those guys who nearly makes it, who everyone sort of vaguely recognises, who comedy fans know, and at the last minute, whew, it all stops and you just end up living in a one-bedroom flat on your own and they find you dead in 5 years' time. 3 a.m, Horlicks, thrashing.
I mean, you have these doubts, but then as a consummate professional, within answering that very first question, you've already slipped the tour in.
Yeah, well, there we are. I mean, that's what I do as a comedian. Now, I take whatever's messed up in my head or in my life or in my past, and I put it on stage, like really, sometimes hashtag overshare, honestly, just because that's what I do. I like to give a limpid pool in which you can gaze into the secrets of my being.
Well, I mean, and this is another of your
many facets. Could have said translucent,
of course. Well, yeah, you're a very linguistically adept person,
yeah,
I would say. Yeah, absolutely. You're very dexterous with grammar.
Yeah, I'm agile in
you
my verbiage.
Would some people say verbose?
Possibly garrulous.
Well, we could go on all day, and perhaps we will after
fun.
This.
Even if you guys aren't listening to it.
Crack out your dictionaries, people. It's the learning hour with Ben and Russell.
Crack one off.
But I'm excited that there's someone who has such a love, who is so seduced by the English language, to the point where you've written Shakespearean inspired plays.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened is when I was growing up, a lot of... a lot of people that got into books and stuff like that, you hear these stories like, hey, I was always a reader, even though no one else in my family was. I felt this calling to literature, and my mum and dad, even though they were humble working people, there was always books in the house. My mum always had a book on the go. That's not me. There were no books in the house. There was no love of language. My dad ripped asbestos out and put sheet metal back in and used to boat. I never read a book. I never read an effing book in my effing life. Waste of money. Look at these hands. Look at these hands. Right. And so what happened was I had to find a way to rebel. I was rebellious. I decided I was going to have a bad teenage period. There's two types of people, isn't there? There's those of us that go kicking, screaming, drug takingly, bedroom smashingly through our teenage years. And there's the others who are like, really, I don't identify with that. Me and my parents are best friends. Even when we were 17 and 18, we used to hang out and go out together.
I'm always suspicious of those. Who are those people?
I don't know, but they need to be taken to the Isle of Wight and assassinated.
They've never had that epiphany that makes them into an adult person.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Bonsais. So my rebellion was what? I come from an environment where the norm was to take drugs. The norm was to lose your virginity as early as possible, get Leanne pregnant who lives on the corner. The norm was to have fights. The norm was to get no GCSEs. It went from the initial rebellion of I went to secondary school and went, yeah, even though I'm the brightest kid in primary school, sod the system, this is comprehensive now, I'm just going to be funny and be popular. And then all of a sudden, as I got to 16, 17, 18, I thought, actually, a true rebellion would be to suddenly be into stuff that no one else is. I'm an attention junkie. And I thought, that's the way I can get attention. So what I started to do was just read the most ridiculous thing. Like, so because I've not had the grounding from the age of 11, it took me a long while to catch up. And I literally started at A from Jane Austen and went through to Zola. And I collected words on cards for a while. So when I collected...
Were you not aware of dictionaries at this point? No. You feel like it was a need?
Well, I think that if you go to a dictionary and just start reading the words you don't know and writing them down, you don't learn them. It's not having a... When you have a real experience, you remember things. So if I was reading Pride and Prejudice, and I remember the first word on the first word card when I was about 15, 16 was impudent. It's a word I'd never seen, or obviously I'd never heard it. My dad, stop being so impudent. We're trying to go down a curry ass.
Right? I was going to ask you to use it in an example phrase, but you just did. You preempted me.
Yeah, well, it just means sort of cocky and a bit full of yourself, doesn't it? And but I'd never found it. So it was word card number one. I used to write impudent, and in brackets, I learned the little symbols that teach you how to pronounce things in the front of the dictionary. It took me about a day to learn those, so I didn't make the classic working class error of saying something like epitome when you mean epitome. Put it in brackets. Then I put all the sort of how it worked, impudence, impudently, it's adverb form. And then I wrote the definition. That was card one. I did 2,784 of those cards between the ages of 16 and 22. I used to carry them around one set a week, learning them, and initially dropping them awkwardly into a conversation to show off that I knew them, until, like learning a foreign language, I just expanded my vocabulary. And that is God's honest truth. Not many people would admit they did that.
And of course, that led to the bestseller Russell Cain's Word of Day, which is available in shops now.
Funny you should talk about bestsellers. Fingers crossed, I've got a novel coming out in April, so we'll see what happens.
Smoke Screens and Castles.
So Smoke Screens and Castles was the one that won the award that you always pretend you're not going after, but you so badly won it. It used to be called the Perrier Award. Listeners might recognise that more than it's just changed name to the Foster's Comedy Award. It is the Oscar of comedy, and the reason it's so cherished is not just that it's highly sought after like an Oscar, it's that there's only two categories, newcomer and winner, and 500 comedy shows every year, and people like Stephen Fry and Dylan Moran and Lee Evans and Al Murray have won it. And to win it, it's just, you just don't win it, and I did, and I won it for the last show, and still I'm not over it.
So, I mean, and also, you won a Barry as well, didn't you? Yeah. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So you're multi-award winner, the only person ever to do that.
Yeah,
isn't that a lot of pressure, though?
The only person to do it for the same show. Daniel Kitson, and I believe maybe Dimitri Martin, has won the Barry Award and the Perrier. But I'm the only person to do the double for the same show.
In the same year, yeah.
Which is just, you know, me. I'm three star some night, so it's a bit overwhelming.
Well, let's listen to a clip of Russell in Smoke Screens and Castles.
It's an uncomfortable part of the show for us, and we realise, because we think we speak a bit better than everyone else than that. Right? It's a castle accent. Have you noticed the way Essex words fall? The reason we're perceived as so unfriendly, it's quite an unfriendly accent. There's words with walls around. I like the London accent, which is open, quite rolling, inviting everyone in, not finishing words, very rarely get to the end of my sentence. Right? Essex people have moved out. The London accent, different to the Essex accent, the London accent's the only accent in the United Kingdom that becomes friendlier the more it's shouted. Do you know what I mean? Are there any Cockneys in, any proper Cockneys, the louder it gets, the fucking friendlier I sound, yeah? Any other accent, Welsh, rolling, mellifluous, honey-like, friendly, musical, wonderful, fits with the speaker, right? But the moment it's shouted, incredibly threatening, right? Same with the Glaswegian accent, see what you like about it, it can actually be quite trustworthy, like he's a mate when he's speaking, but he gets angry, you don't even fucking hear that. Any accent, except the London accent, which when shouting, or even with an aggressive face, is friendly. You feel like I'm about to wheel on a tray of bargains, like, start watching them. I will nick it back for you in the car park, though. But the flip side is also true. If an accent is friendly, the London accent is friendly with an aggressive face while shouting, the reverse is also true. The moment it becomes polite, or a little bit friendly, and then fucking menacing, yeah?
The DVD that comes out on November 7th, Smokescreens and Castles, that was easy. I go back to my childhood home and we go around room by room and we have a story in the garage and all the garage stories are about cars and masculinity and manliness. Then we go into the kitchen, it's all about my mum and femininity and domesticity. Then we go into the living room and how media impacted on my council house childhood. And it was just easy narrative journey.
Your latest show, Manscaping, I mean, from what I've read about it, that seems to have been born out of kind of a difficult time of your life.
Yeah, that was... So Manscaping, it's one of the less, it's more like my show Human Dressage. It's a little bit harder to sort of get down in a sentence what the show's about. It comes from a moment, there was a weird intersection where it was like someone flicked the on switch in my comedy career, sort of telly and radio wise. I don't know why, I danced as Beyonce.
Quite useful, obviously, in terms of a career.
But it was just suddenly, and as it happened, my personal life turned to dog poo. It was like all my relationship fell apart. I lost my way a little bit. I started to disappear up my own bum hole. Started wearing guy line. I was like, what's happened to me? I looked at myself in the mirror, and the moment when I knew I was having a problem, I was using a Babyliss eye stubble shaver to sculpt my abdomen pubes into a shape that I thought birds would like more. And I was like, you have lost it.
Hang on, eye stubble?
That's what the name of the model. It's called a Babyliss Eye Stubble Manscaper.
Do you get stubble under your eyes? Because mine's kind of stops right by my nose. Yeah, that's weird.
That's a Tim Vine level of pun. And you sort of, you can do it from 0.4 mils to 5 mils. You can do it around the base of your willy to create the illusion of length. It's just a very useful tool.
I mean, not that either of us would have to worry about creating any illusions.
No, if anything, we grow a bigger bush to make it less
hide it in there. Make it a bit of a treat.
I looked in the mirror and I was like, what has happened? I thought, my God, you're experimenting with becoming a fake version of yourself. And then I looked at the year and I was like, what was that dancing on TV about? Why were you torso over the week in heat? Is that something you really wanted to do? And I was like, yeah, I did at the time. And I was like, why am I writing a novel? Am I trying to prove something? Why am I suddenly being single and trying to have one night stands when that's not who I am? I thought, wow, there's about five or six different fake me's, different manscapes, I've called them to pun on the manscaper, that I've attempted to be. And I don't even know which one's the real me yet. And I thought, instead of coming to some fake conclusion and going, and it turns out I'm this, let's take that lostness onto stage. Let's say, here are the five fake me's, and I come to you in one of them at the moment, and laugh at how pathetic it is as I attempt to be them. And of course, it puts me right back at the underdog position, which you're in danger of losing as you get more famous. How can I talk about working classness and not having anything and my mum being a cleaner? When that stuff ceases to be true. At the moment, my mum still has to work as a cleaner because I'm not making the big bucks. But one day, I'm going to put a wad of dosh down and go, there we are, you don't need to clean anymore. And then I lose my working class flag. So it's all of those fears, and that's why I explore via different manscape: class, gender, fame, sexuality, promiscuity.
I mean, I think you've kind of been quite open and honest about the fact that you're a fairly, I don't know, would it be fair to say camp individual? Yeah. Like, and I say this as someone who, believe it or not, is not a rippling mass of muscle and sinew. Exactly, you know, but I think it's a shtick. It's something that you're able to use as a heterosexual male. It's kind of...
Thank you.
And I don't want to bring up another Russell here, but Russell Brand, I think, has been quite a famous protagonist of this kind of meandering route. The kind of, the reemergence of the modern day dandy, I guess you'd say.
He's gone more down the sort of dandy route, but you'll never find any women who ever thought or currently think that he might be gay. It just doesn't come up. I find him very gay. They find him effete and dandyish and sort of eccentric. But if you type Russell Brand into Google, unlike when you type Russell Kane, the next most predicted word after Russell Kane comedian, is Russell Kane gay? Question mark. Followed by Russell Kane topless. So I have crossed the line from borrowing, and plus I don't really do dandyism. I don't, you know, I'm a more of a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy, but have more, I give off those vibes more to girls of actual gayness, which is even more dangerous weapon because you can get them right to the, oh my God, you're so gay, followed by, get in the van.
What is the quality? I mean, and you say this to me, sat here wearing eyeliner or guy liner.
I don't know, because the worrying thing is I didn't cultivate it where, I don't know, Russell Brand, but I don't know how, to what extent he thought, oh, I'm onto something here with my image, I'll cultivate it. And good for him, we've all got to cultivate a persona. But what happened was, I was about 2 years ago doing a routine about Sadie, who I was with at the time, and there was a jolt in the audience. I couldn't work out what the jolt was because I don't really talk about, well, it's only in this show, I don't really talk about shagging and women and stuff like that. I'm off talking about my dad all the time. And I mentioned a girl, and there was a kind of weirdness in the audience. And it took me a while to realise I've been performing for all that time where at least 70% of the audience just assumes, and it's no problem these days, is it, that I was gay. So I made a remark about it. I go, oh, I should just mention, I am definitely straight, by the way. And it got not just a polite laugh of, oh, yeah, he does look a bit gay, that's not a bad wit, is it? A massive tension release of wit laugh, which means you've really hit on a truth. Mm. And I'm like, shit, I genuinely confuse gaydars. And
it's like you could be brought in as some kind of military intelligence.
Just as
we don't know how he does it, but
we cannot kill the enemy because his bum looks so much like a peach. And I then realised that it's majority of people. So I get it on Twitter all the time. I get it on Facebook. Not kind of, hey, I love your dandyish image where you've borrowed the trappings of gay male to use it to your heterosexual advantage, which is what you're suggesting. I've got the more worrying, genuine, yeah, but he's gay, isn't he?
Mm, yeah.
Which is still, with a certain type of 18 to 25 year old girl, it's porn today. Mum, you've got to meet him. He's very thin. He's thinner than my mate Stacey.
I mean, I think it's something that we should celebrate as kind of the modern men. I guess that's something that you're exploring in manscaping
it.
As well.
I do explore that. I don't. It was originally when I wrote the blurb for the show that unfortunately exists in most of the brochures, that was going to dominate, but it's become just a small part of the first manscape, singledom and the single male and the sort of heterosexual stereotype we have to live up to. And it's just sort of in that first 12 minutes, 15 minutes of the show, but it's a big 12, 15 minutes. And also a little bit, it goes back to that rebellion thing we're talking about. My dad was ultra working class, manly, steroid using, semi-professional bodybuilder, rugby player, lifeguard, metal welder, meat eating, man's man, 16 stone, 3% body fat when he was on the gear, the steroids. So I just reacted against it. I've become like your dad, or you go, you know what, F you, I'm kicking against the system. So thin as possible, camp as possible. And then eventually you go native in your own cultivated fakery and you become the long word using gay boy.
I mean, I can relate to this because, you know, my dad is an independent financial advisor and I have stoically stuck to wasting and frittering my money away willy-nilly.
But taking the fashions on board.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it all goes on. Highfalutin 40s gear.
But I would buy a policy from, if you came out to the interviews over Russell, however, I know you've got a bit of money you're putting aside for the tax man. Can I recommend an ISA as an investment? I would trust you in that garb.
Oh, yeah.
I hope there's a website where
people can dissect what we're wearing.
Would you buy an ISA from this man? Could well be the headline underneath.
Particularly war bonds. I think I'd be good at selling.
Yeah, war bonds. Now that the gold standard has failed.
Yeah. Invest in eggs. did you back sack and crack for this show? Have you done that? Have you?
No, because I can't get over the shyness. I'd get my back waxed, but I just can't imagine ever spreading my cheeks for anyone of any gender or persuasion.
Ever.
And getting my inner ring waxed. I just couldn't do it. I just physically could not splay and have wax applied to my ring.
Here you go. Just get down there, do what you will. I'll just read a paper.
I couldn't do it. Not even the sack.
I've got a mate who shaves his own his own body.
Well, shaving's fine. I mean, yeah.
Do you know, I think it would be like shaving your mouth or when it's puckered. I think it'd be just full of wrinkles.
Okay, danger I can deal with. Humiliation, not.
Yeah, living on the extreme shaving down there. But
yeah, get a mirror in the bath, put a leg on the shower unit. And just look like Jeff Goldblum in the final stages of The Fly.
Constantly looking around in case someone comes in. Hello.
Just feeding on sugar cubes and shaving your Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard that fur bum, Harris?
Yeah.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
I looked it up the other day. It's because it's Cockney rhyming slang. Where everyone's like, but Harris doesn't rhyme with bum. And what it comes from, Aristotle, for bottle. Because the original Cockney rhyming slang was bottle and glass for arse. But in the end, bottle came to mean arse. So if you said bottle, it was like, thank you. We don't need that sort of language. So people started to rhyme with bottle instead. Aristotle, bottle. That's where it comes from.
And I guess in the 21st century, bottles and arses have a whole different connotation.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you just say shitter because we've lost our way morally.
Oh, you could say council gritter. That's...
Yeah, my council gritter. That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, there we go.
I've got a pain in my council gritter. I used to use the Radio 4 cultural host, Rana Mitter. I've got a pain in my Rana Mitter. Yeah.
Or Deepfield Pitter, if you wanted.
Yeah. Any other rhyming slang you've got for shitter? Just
please send them in at joindave.co.uk. There'll be more of me and Russell Kane in a sec, but first, here's me having a chat about beards and stuff with Adam Buxton. Okay, I'm here with Adam Buxton, joining us fresh from performing his show Bug at the Greenwich Comedy Festival. Adam, how did you find it?
It was easy to find. It's right next to the Cutty Sark.
Oh, that's comedy.
That's the kind of amazing golden nuggets of comedy that I was just throwing out into the audience. It was really fun, and, you know, it's a nice, relaxed show for me because it's not a proper stand-up show. You know, I'm just showing, mainly, it's about showing other people's music videos.
Yeah, so for people who haven't seen the show, don't understand the concept, can you give us a very brief outline of it?
Yeah, it is a celebration of all that is best about the music video. Bug is a show that we do every couple of months at the BFI South Bank in London, when we show a selection of all the latest, most interesting, innovative, unusual, jaw-dropping, state-of-the-art videos. And this show that we are sort of touring around with, we went to Edinburgh with it, and we're doing some shows in Liverpool, and Manchester, places like that, is a best of, really, a best of 2001 thus far, with a few other odds and sods thrown in, my own bits of nonsense, a few YouTube comments. Like to read out YouTube comments about some of the videos. And so I describe it to people as being like going around to a friend's house and watching stuff on their laptop. Except, I mean, that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Is essentially kind of what it is, though, isn't it, really?
It is, yeah, it is. You know, it's sort of... It's not like super slick stand-up comedy at all. It's a friendly, informal show that is really just me enthusing about some amazing videos.
So you say you've not got musical chops, but what you have got is some very impressive hairy chops these days.
Thank you.
So that was a compliment. It was very much meant.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that you never got tired of talking about your beard. what was the reasons behind growing it? Do you have any hirsute heroes that you're trying to emulate?
I like beards. I liked Jim Morrison when he grew a beard, and I think probably I grew a beard perhaps for the same sort of reasons, i.e. Morrison was getting a bit lardy. He'd drunk too many beers and had too many pies and thought, time to cover up the Morrison face and hide behind a big bush. And that sounded weird, didn't it? I suppose I was thinking something similar. Plus, I did a show about 5 years ago when I went to Edinburgh. No, longer than that now. And I was doing a character called Pavel, who was like a kind of animator artist, and he had a giant beard. I thought it would be good to make me look a little bit different, so, you know, people would believe in the character a bit more. So that's initially why I grew a beard, and that was a big pirate beard.
So it was a method beard, if anything.
Method beard, yeah, definitely. I wanted to show people that I was for real, yeah, without actually carving it into my arm, Richie Manick style. And ever since then, I've been loath to shave it off. I had to shave it off once or twice for TV things, and every time I did, I was depressed by what lay underneath.
Feeling cold, I imagine.
Yeah, too. Cold, too smooth, too many double chins. Just thought, come on, got to get the beard back.
I mean, is it something that you have to... I know that you can buy beard oils, yeah, special combs. Is that something that you've invested in?
I condition, but beyond that, there's not too much maintenance, no.
Yeah, it takes care of itself. I can
more
see
or less.
That.
Now it's going all grey as well. That's the other thing, is that there's a whole new aspect
It's extremely refined as well. Yeah. This is not particularly funny, but I heard that Edward VII, the Queen Victoria's son, his appearance was greatly improved once he grew a beard. There and that was go. The making of the man.
There you go. It adds gravitas.
Absolutely.
You know? And I'm a silly man and also short. So any gravitas I can get
you're clutching at beardy straws.
Good. You know, I'm up for it. Yeah.
Yeah, do you think when people see you, you think, well, this man has taken the time to grow a beard, he obviously means business.
Yeah, we should take him seriously. Also, he might have a temper. When I was young, I always thought men with beards were apt to explode at any point. And I like to shout occasionally to get my point across. So, and also to my children, you know, when I'm reprimanding them, I think they take me more seriously as well.
I mean, it's no coincidence, I think, that many of history's great dictators have had facial hair.
Mm.
It obviously lends an air of authority.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't think any, you know, there wouldn't have been any purges if Stalin had shaved off his... I mean, his was rather a prissy beard. And I would have told him that to his face as well. But, yeah, where am I going with this?
That's great. Adam Buxton, thank you very much.
Hi, thanks very much. Nice to be here in Dave World. Cheers, Ben.
And now I'm back with Russell Kane. Before we end, I'd like to do what's become somewhat of a tradition on the Dave Weekly and give you a tenuous quiz.
Yeah, do
to
it.
To end
do
with it. With kind of manscaping related questions. Now, last week
these
we had
genuine general knowledge. These,
yes, well, if you're
I love
me,
stuff like this.
If you're me,
I just did Mastermind, by the way. I can't give away what happened, but I will say my subject was the life and novels of Evelyn Waugh, which surprised the host.
So basically, we had a prize last week for Joe Brand, and we're trying to make the prizes specific to the guest.
Okay.
So we made her a homemade cake. For you, Russell, it's a lock of my pubes.
It's not genuinely, is it?
Well, I'm yet to cut them. I didn't want to cut them unless you didn't win.
Oh, my God.
And then I just have a bald patch.
I'm disappointed to know you have pubes. You've clearly negated all the middle part of the discussion.
Well, I've just left one little 50 pence piece size.
Just one long waxed pube in the middle. One gentlemanly pube.
It's a Fu Manchu pube.
Oh, it's disgusting. Right, go on.
Okay. So
I'm going to lose on purpose
question
now.
Question one. Manly Beach in Australia was so named because its founder, Captain Arthur Phillip, was impressed by its indigenous population's manliness. That's true.
Right.
But true or false? For linked reasons, he also wanted to call Sydney Pussy Cove.
I'm going to say true.
I'm afraid it's false. He wanted to call it Bottomy Bay.
He did not.
No, he didn't really. That was a trick question.
He wanted to call it Shitter Creek.
Question two. Everyone knows that how manly you are is directly related to the size of your penis, with anecdotal reports of Todgers measuring over 15 inches in diameter.
That's just not true.
Everyone knows this, Russell.
It's not true because I have a massive willy and I'm gay. Nearly.
But what is the mean erect human penis?
Oh, God, how specific do you want me to be? In inches?
I'll repeat the question, but what is the mean erect human penis?
The average length you're asking for, the mean.
The mean erect human penis.
Is this excuse for you to do some terrible pun in the answer, or do I need to guess the length?
I'm going to have to press you for time,
it's
Russell.
A terrible
we don't have
pun.
All day.
7 inches. I'd dread being that small.
It's. I know, what a horrible place that would be to be.
Here comes the pun, drum roll.
It's 5.1 to 5.9 inches.
Oh.
A one that's miserly or unkind.
There we are. There it was. There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Question three. I think you can see where these are all going.
Yeah, go on.
On average, how many Barbra Streisand concerts is it possible to have attended before people begin to question your masculinity?
None.
No, I'm afraid it's 11,
oh.
Which is where I'm staying.
Yeah.
Any more on that, and it's known as the Streisand Dozen.
Yeah, the Streisand Dozen. Instantly.
Instantly, people will start to ask questions.
And you're into banditry.
Number four. The grit of a man is often linked to him being said to have balls. But famously, how many balls did Hitler have?
One. Hitler has only got one ball, the other is in the Albert Hall.
Well, that's where the song's misleading. It was actually three. One at Christmas, one in the spring, and a summer soiree.
Oh, my God, they're all puns. That's just Tim Vines at home at the moment applauding.
And question five, and this you've got to get this. Finally, most of us are familiar with pubic hair, the tightly curled carpet produced
except
by...
Ruskin, it ruined his wedding night. Sorry, carry on.
Apart from Ruskin... the tightly curled carpet produced by rising levels of androgens in the body. But can you tell me what a merkin is?
Yeah, pubic wig.
No, it's someone who comes from Merker.
Oh, my God.
Russell Kane devastated at not having won a lock of my pubic hair himself.
I was playing that quiz for real, ladies and gentlemen.
And I was playing it for real too. And you got schooled, my friend. Back to the drawing board.
Yep.
Okay, so Russell, one of the things that we're trying to promote on this show, trying to bring into the spotlight, I think worthily, is my dad's Twitter. He's known as @pronger69.
Is it really? Or is it you doing
it? No, this is genuinely my independent financial advising dad.
It's you with a beard stuck on. Going, oh, look, it's a dad character. It's got merit. Let's get a commission.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, I will say, it's full of puns. No, it's
it looks a bit like me, but it's not me.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Please, give me a series.
He doesn't wear glasses, okay? It's definitely not me. No, this is my genuine dad's Twitter feed.
Right,
and one of the things that we'll do is trying to get him up to as many followers as possible. So we got him up to 23 followers that last week. After he was stuck on 2 with me and another independent financial advisor, I thought that his tweets are too good to be wasted. I'll just give you an example of what he'd done this week. So last week, me and Joe Brown were discussing being in the sewers. We both went down the sewer for various reasons. And he said, did Ben and Joe Brand really go down the sewers of London, or were they just going through the motions?
Nice.
That's quite
so
good.
You've inherited your gifts from
exactly.
him. It's a shame you can't hear inverted commas on a podcast.
The force is strong with this one. But also interspersed with gems like this. Most ordinary people invest when stock markets are high. Professionals buy low and we are currently in a dip. Buy quality and spread your risk.
Take that, Dalai Lama.
Exactly. So I kind of think with these two competing things, surely he's what everyone needs. Someone with sound financial and comedic advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to get him this week up to, well, I've put the ambitious target of 35. So we need to bump him up by at least 12.
Well, I'm behind that. Maybe he could try and combine a financial advice tweet with a pun. All I'm saying is go for the hybrid.
I think this is where he's heading, absolutely. Mm. You know, he's got a tight 5 on the circuit at the moment so just easing these in would be superlative.
Yeah, it's got to be a pun you can do on stock market or dips or something like that. All-time high.
Double dips, tara masalata and hummus.
After seeing the lift of the footsie, it was me that was on an all-time high or something like that. That's
absolutely.
Just an example. Don't use that one, Dad.
Invest in biblical characters because profits will be soaring.
There we are.
Okay, well, on that comedic bombshell, I think it's time to say thank you to Russell Kane for coming in and telling us all about his various projects and things that he's doing. So we've got Smokescreens and Castles, which comes out on the 7th of November on DVD. We've got your new tour, which begins on the 18th of September and runs through to the 23rd of March next year. That's Manscaping. Definitely go see that.
Yeah.
What else? We've got a book coming out.
I'm not really supposed to speak about it, but I can't stop.
It's out. It's an exclusive on the Dave Weekly. Russell Kane's book is
coming out in April, and then loads of other telly things as well, so you just have to look out for me.
So I'm off to trim Russell's portion now. Yeah. So we'll go do that. Remember to download and subscribe to us on iTunes. Next week we've got Half Man, Half Heron Paul Foot coming in to warble at us. Also check out our blog at joindave.co.uk/podcast and tweet us at @join_Dave, me @BenChires, and most importantly of all, Russell, I'm sure will agree, my dad @Pronger69.
Absolutely. Pronger69, finance and funny.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The Dave Weekly is a Pixiu production for Dave, presented by me, Ben Shires, and produced by Simon Cooper.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got 6 comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your social history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.